coach. That's all I do is I try to coach, and they work out the monetary values. They work out the contracts where we have Rob Brzezinski and Rick. I just try to coach. Guys are here, I try to coach, and you know, we keep trying to get more guys in here, and I keep trying to coach them.
Coach Mike Zimmer, one of my favorite guys to show up around here for in a long, long time as the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. He is old school. He's not going to pull any punches. He's not going to pretend to be part of the game upstairs. But Chip Kelly needs to settle down and just keep his ass downstairs near the players. Coach them up. Coach them up.
How about those Vikings, huh?
I mean, fine. They're fine.
Stop asking.
Who was that?
I don't know. Danny from Cambridge, you're on 105 The Ticket.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good.
I don't know. I mean, you tell me. How are you doing?
I'm doing phenomenal.
What do you mean by that, phenomenal? Rate that from 1 to 10.
Well, we're sitting in, what, 50, 55-degree weather?
Somewhere in
March?
There. Probably, yeah, something like that.
I mean, how can you complain in Minnesota?
You're right. You can't. I stand corrected.
You know, and not to mention, we're not making fools of ourselves in free agency like other teams.
Another good point. Okay.
But at the same time, Danny, we're not doing really anything in free agency.
You know, sometimes subtlety goes a long way because I know you guys were on the topic of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people are grading them, you know, A to F on how they've done. And I kind of wanted to weigh in on that if I could.
Yeah, absolutely. You can. Absolutely.
Well, in my opinion, and, you know, I follow football, you know, I'm a fantasy football guy like most guys my age.
How old are you?
You know, I am 29.
Okay.
Now, the way I look at it is, you know, players like Terry Williams on defense are irreplaceable. You've got a veteran cornerback that wants to be paid. Okay. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You played for Tennessee. He played for Philly, and I think he played for another team as well. He's a great cornerback. He's a good shutdown cornerback, a good cover guy, and a decent tackler. I think a player like that you have to keep. With that being said, also, you lose out on a player like Byron Maxwell, who deserves big money, you know, coming from Seattle. You lose out on that free agency pool. So right there, you take a hit. Also, with that being said, if you think you're going to upgrade at running back by losing LeSean McCoy, who's ultimately one of the most versatile running backs in the NFL, by replacing him with Ryan Matthews and throwing a haymaker out there and hoping you can land a Circle Murray. I mean, I just think that's pathetic. And not only that, you lose out on Nick Foles, who, yeah, has his injuries, but you're replacing him with somebody who has never played a full NFL season, if I'm not correct.
You've made three really good points. Number one, a guy who has had some injuries, Nick Foles, he's been nicked up a little bit. For a guy who is absolutely laid up every season with an ACL, MCL, Sam Bradford. Also, McCoy goes to the Bills in hopes, and you can bet on this, Chip Kelly thought that he had Frank Gore landed. He thought he was going to get him signed, and that's why he let McCoy go. And guess what happened? He got there and he found out that it was a track practice every night, and it was an endless practice every night. So Gore goes down to Indianapolis. So you're right. He's thinking more than he knows. Let the people upstairs, honestly, it hasn't worked out very often where coaches could come in and wear two hats, the GM hat and the money, the guy who has the checkbook, and then go downstairs and put the whistle on and the hat on and coach them up. It's hard to do. Don't weigh into everything up in the front office and try and spend the money too. Just go downstairs and run that Oregon thing or whatever you're about on the field like Mike Zimmer just said.
Yeah, I completely agree. Jason Lucanfora, who is one of our guys from CBS and CBSSports.com, said, he tweeted out last night, and I retweeted it, I've been pretty willing to give Chip Kelly the benefit of the doubt on most moves. But the more I look at this Bradford trade, the more baffled I am.
I am, too.
Because not only did they send Nick Foles to the St. Louis Rams, they also sent a second and fourth round draft pick.
That's a lot.
It's a ton.
That's a lot for a guy who's been laying on the field.
For Sam Bradford?
That, yeah.
The St. Louis Rams had to be like, hold on a second. We just got to make sure this isn't a prank call. Is this a prank call? No, it's not a prank. Is this a real deal? Yes, we'll take it.
Yeah.
Where do we sign?
Hey, listen, I got him on hold right now. He said he's going to send us Nick Foles and a couple draft choices. Shall we trade him? Okay, I'll tell him.
Yeah,
Sam Bradford's up.
Yeah
we don't know. We're really torn as to whether or not we want to send him your way. Oh, we'll do it, though.
But
we'll
you look at the NFC East, and what a kerfuffle, what a joke it's become with Chip Kelly, and watch him come out and win 12 games next year. I mean
good for him if he can pull that off.
Sillier things have happened in the NFL, but you have Chip Kelly and the Philadelphia Eagles ruining, in my opinion, a once very, very proud and very significant franchise. One of the premier franchises in the NFL. You've got whatever's going on in Washington with RG3 and then the Gruden guy and the coach and the racist.
The Washington racist, yeah.
On the side of their helmet, you've got the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones and what a silly guy he is. The New York Giants. I mean, what's going on in the
NFC?
That's
a solid organization, but you're right. I mean, I think that's been a pretty classy organization. In New York, that is, with the Giants.
They have the worst quarterback in the NFL, and their owner belongs in assisted living.
Come on.
He does.
Yeah, their owner does.
No, not their owner. Sorry, their
come
head coach.
Come on.
But seriously.
Oh, Coughlin's. Come on, man.
Thank you, Danny from Cambridge.
He's won a lot of Super Bowls.
You're always welcome to call us, 651-989.
That was a good call. That was a good call, by the way.
Yeah, great
call.
What
are you, nuts? Are you nuts?
I'm a little nuts. Vikings, though. Back to the Vikings and what they are doing or not doing in free agency. They're in on a lot of people. Certain price ranges go a little too high, and the Vikings aren't willing to pay it, so they're going to move on. But
yep.
A lot of Vikings fans are griping about why aren't they making any moves. You see teams do this, or you see the Jacksonville Jaguars signing a whole sheet of people.
They're making a big splash.
But they have a ton of cap room. When you think about it, going back to last year, which is the new norm for the Minnesota Vikings, yep. What Vikings fans should get used to now that Mike Zimmer's here and adding in his two cents to what Rick Spielman does and goes out and gets these guys. Day one of last year on free agency, you remember what we did?
Day one, I thought it was like Captain Munderland or something like that.
No.
I think we sat, didn't we? For
re-signed
the whole
our
thing,
own guys. I want to say we
and then
gave,
you came and got captain.
We gave Castle a 2-year contract extension last year. That's what we did on day one. As of day two, day two, which is today, we signed Jasper Brinkley.
Okay.
And at the
when
end,
did captain come?
At the end of day two into day three is when we signed Linval Joseph and Captain Morgan.
Munderland.
Morgan.
Okay.
Day 10.
He drinks a lot.
Yeah. Tom Johnson. So, I mean, it's going to take some time for the Minnesota Vikings to go out and get these diamonds in the rough.
There's a lot of good players out there. Lots of good players out there. There really are. If you scour them right, and I have to give him credit. Dick Spielberg, your guy, he does a pretty good job of weighing and assessing talent. I mean, you can say what you want. It's a crapshoot, and he does a pretty good job. I think he wins out more times than not.
I do like him now that he's gotten off the whole Christian Ponder bandwagon and shoving him down Leslie Frazier's throat.
That Freeman thing pissed me off.
Oh, yeah.
That
so did the Christian Ponder thing. He just wouldn't let it go. And I feel like he's doing that with Matt Khalil right now, too. Just because there's a track record. But at the same time, I get the fact that you don't want to give up on a franchise left tackle that you drafted so high.
I mean, the kid could play. There's no question. Everyone
being the key word.
Well, but how could we have known that before we drafted him, that he was going to turn out to be only good for 1 year? I mean, everyone wanted him.
I don't disagree with that fact.
I don't know.
I think drafting Matt Khalil was the right thing to do. But once he sucks and you realize he sucks, it's time to move on.
You really would? You're not even willing to do that now.
I'm not ready to do that yet. But
well,
I feel
how could
like,
you have done a year ago? I mean, how would you have done it after 1 year?
I wanted to sit him last year. I wanted to sit him in the middle of last year, but we didn't have anybody to replace him with.
It's hard to come by a left tackle that can line up and play against. The featured defensive end is obviously the end to the backside of the quarterback. That's where your most dangerous defensive lineman is going to be put, hopefully on that left side from the blind side. So you have to go, you can only imagine what the left tackle has to be to stay in front of him in a backpedal. It's incredible. It's very difficult. But and Khalil looked so good. I mean, he just looked so good. He had a great campaign at USC but I don't know what you do. I mean, you can't just go out and keep re-signing him. And I think we're almost there where we should. I don't trust him. I really don't trust him. I want him to go back and be the same guy. He seems like a tough kid. His brother, we know, if you believe the pedigree, he should be a good football player.
And his sister's a heck of a singer. We saw her come to the Metrodome the last year, the Metrodome sing the national anthem.
That's right.
So he should be able to do something out there. I mean, his sister can sing like the cows coming home.
Talented family. But I don't know what. Yeah, but go ahead. It was a good point. But I just think that Spielman has done a pretty damn good job. I know and understand what that Ponder thing is. But I did talk with people in Washington the year that he came out, and they loved Ponder, and they were wanting him.
They
Bruce Allen, I talked with Bruce, and he was the GM at the time.
the Vikings really wanted Jake Locker, who retired yesterday after four seasons in the NFL, but he was taken by the Tennessee Titans, and then Blaine Gabbert was chosen by the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Amazing.
Blaine Gabbert got a contract extension.
With San Francisco, right?
What the hell?
There's talent there, but he wasn't ready to play. They draft him so high. They have so much money invested in these guys up front, and they throw him in there because they think they're shoe-ins, but it ruins them sometimes.
This is the nicest thing I've ever said or thought about Christian Ponder. He is 10 times the quarterback that Blaine Gabbert is. He should have no problem finding a job if Blaine Gabbert can. Weston from Red Wing, you've got a solution for the Vikings. You're on 105 The Ticket.
I wouldn't exactly call it a solution, boys, but good afternoon. Nice to talk to you.
You too?
Well, I don't know if I'm all aboard on that.
My suggestion to the Vikings is let's go grab an extra insurance policy and Jake, on the left tackle that the Rams just let go.
Jake Long?
Yes, sir.
He's a good player, but he's been nicked up badly. I don't know if his knees are good anymore.
Yeah, but who needs him if that Khalil goes down or starts playing like crap?
Understood.
Throw him in there.
Look, he's as good a tackle as there ever has been in the game when he was healthy. I couldn't agree with you more. Maybe you can pick him up, and it'd be a pretty decent price tag, too. It'd be a very affordable one because he's on his last leg, no pun intended. But Jake Long was as good as Joe Thomas. As good, easily. I've never seen anyone much better than Jake Long when he was in his heyday. And the guy has taken two really bad knee injuries. And he hasn't been the same player.
Started his career in Miami, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then scooted
from Michigan.
Midwest.
He was the first player taken, I believe. And then Chris Long, Howie Long's son, went right after him to the Rams.
No relation. Long, Chris Long?
None. No, but then Chris Long's brother, Kyle, plays for the Bears first round draft out of Oregon. Yeah. We're going to come back. We're going to call Jim Rich. Gosh darn it. I look down this list and it's Jim Rich. What do we keep having him on for?
Because he's awesome.
All right, let's go talk to him then. Son of a... Radioactive Sports.
Back to Radioactive Sports. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
It's going to be boring. That would work for me right now in a pinch.
Cool. You know, offensively, I think that's one of the games probably where we've had four lines generating maybe more. But we got up, and obviously that forced them to chase a little bit. Then we did a good job for the most part staying inside the game that we need to play. And because of that, if you do that, then it leads to more chances.
Head coach, Minnesota Wild, Mike Yeo. Talking big talk, and man, did they beat the hell out of the New Jersey Devils.
That was awesome.
Last night, 6-2. About as
awesome.
Solid a game as you could possibly ask after the out of the hiccup game that they came off of with Colorado. Jim Rich standing by now, as he always is. Well, not really standing by. The past couple days, he's been laying down trying to do radio because he's been so sick.
I'm sitting now. I'm all right.
Jim Rich sitting by.
Don't sit too long because I have a family member that's a semi-truck driver, and you get some sort of dealio going on down here in the gastrointestinal thing in Virginia. And
yeah.
You're not going to want that. No, you're not going to want that. So you might want to stand up and do some jumping jacks or something while you're talking to us.
Wow. Well, all right. If you say so. All right, here we go.
Write that down somewhere.
Oh, wait. I'll drop the phone if I do a jumping jack. Because I got to put my hands way over my head, come back on.
Sometimes when I talk to you guys, it's like trying to wrangle feral cats. The superstar Mike Morris and Jim Rich from Fox 9. How do you feel about that?
I feel pretty good about it.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm not
touching my toes. Does that count for you?
You guys are nutbags. Jim Rich, how do you feel about last night's blowout? All four lines scored to the Minnesota Wild. As Mike Yeo came off the ice, he seemed pretty excited about that.
They were pretty impressive last night. They worked hard in the first period, weren't rewarded last couple of minutes. They finally broke through, and then early in the second, they just kept coming. And it was a very impressive win by the Wild last night, and gives themselves even more breathing room because Winnipeg gave up a goal from center ice in the final minute to lose. So they're now 3 points up on the Jets and sitting in a good spot. It's remarkable. They now have 81 points. That's the most the Wild have ever had at this point of a season in the franchise's history. I mean, at one point, people were calling for Coach Yo's head.
Yeah,
you, well, yeah, you being one
Roenick,
of them.
Jeremy Roenick was saying he's got to go. Yeah. He's lost the club, but, you know, here he is again. Now he's got the team at their best stage at this point of the season in franchise history. It's remarkable what a goaltender can do.
Jim Rich from Fox 9 at 81 points for just 3 points behind that third place in the conference behind the Chicago Blackhawks, too. So we're right, like you said, in the mix of things. This being the most amount of points that we've had this early in the season, is the conference just that much better this year?
It's just this ridiculous run. What are they, 17-3-1 since the All-Star game? I mean, it's ridiculous what they've been able to do. And continue just to win night after night, no matter whether they're on the road, whether they're playing a playoff team, whether they're not playing a playoff team. And now you look at, all of a sudden, this team could have great depth when they come to the playoffs. If these other players get healthy, Carter is supposedly coming back, Cook, Zucker is healing faster than expected, so... Oh, so this team could have a lot of players to choose from going into the playoffs. So, you see everybody contributing like we saw last night. Dumba has really raised his game. I don't know what's happened to him, why the light has gone on for the kid, but it really has. And, you know, when you're a young defenseman and you have as much talent as he has, you try to think you can get away with things, and then all of a sudden you get caught, and it's obviously glaring because when you're the defenseman, you're the last line of defense, so it usually looks pretty bad when you make a mistake and it ends up in your net. But he really, since that time in Iowa, has come back and has become a dominant force. And you can see Mike Yeo using him more and more in different critical situations where normally you wouldn't put a rookie out there.
Do you think part of that, though, Jim, is opportunity and more time out there? I mean, having to pull up the slack when some of these players have gone down has allowed somebody else the opportunity and the Wild showing the confidence in them to come back and put them in games and play them and play them hard. There's that new sense of confidence and being in a place where they've never been before, where they can actually finally show the team what they've got. And I've seen it happen over and over again in sports. You know, in football, it happens a lot when you give a kid a chance and he's willing to rebound from having a slump or some bad times and come right back and show you that he's corrected himself and he takes it seriously.
That's kind of the thing. His name's bounced around for a while and we've seen him for a long time. So you kind of, you know, get used to seeing him, and you think, well, he's not, you know, he should be better than he is because he was a first-round pick. People expect him to step right in, but he just turned, you know, 20 years old in the summer. So he's a guy that would be, if he was at the University of Minnesota, he'd be finishing up his sophomore season. So you look at how the fast track has been for him, and he really has been pushed to make it. He was taken seventh overall in 2012, and here he's now finally getting comfortable. And you're right, Mike, and I think when you have that over your head with, if I make one mistake, I'm going to end up back in the press box, or if I don't make a sensational play tonight, I'm going to end up back in the press box watching, then you start gambling, you start thinking, and it gets in your head, and you don't relax, and you don't feel comfortable.
Jim Rich, Fox 9, they're sure fun to watch. We always talk about this, and the Superstar and I mentioned this earlier today. There's always those prove-it games coming up for the Minnesota Wild that you and I discuss. Obviously, we had the Anaheim Ducks on Friday, then St. Louis and Nashville coming up in the next couple of days as well. So the nitty-gritty, down to the nitty-gritty, we'll see where we really stand here in the Western Conference. But transitioning a little bit, you and I had a bit of a fiery conversation coming down to Adrian Peterson earlier this morning. Yeah, I mean, we were screaming and yelling at each other, but we're still friends.
Tempers flew.
Yeah, it's all right. You have an enormous head. You can see it on TV, but it fits that massive, soft sports brain that you have. Tell us your thoughts on Adrian Peterson and what you think is going to happen here in the next week or so. Is he going to be a member of the Minnesota Vikings when they go to training camp in Mankato, or are they going to trade him here?
Well, something has to happen because Adrian said in his quote yesterday to ESPN after the conversation with the ownership out of New York that he is going to wait to see what happens. So he's expecting something to happen. Well, what can it be? If he's coming back to the team, that's not really waiting for something to happen. He's being very quiet about this, so I think Ziggy and Mark told him, hey, give us some time here to work this out. either A, a new contract, which gives them more guaranteed money because the guaranteed money is all burned up. But like you said, Ben, well, once he steps on the field in week one, he gets his payday for that season. But I think he's looking for even more than that. Or two, if he said, I want the trade, and they said, hey, be quiet about it because then we could get a better deal for ourselves and we'll try to get you to the team you want to go to. So I think that's what the conversation was, because by him flying out there, I think that suggests that he was the one that had the question. If the Vikings were calling him in to say, hey, we'd like to talk to you some more, I think Ziggy's jet would have been sitting in Houston to pick him up instead of putting him in a middle seat on JetBlue to New York.
Okay, so walk through the trade value. We've heard, I don't know who it is, saying that the only thing they could possibly get for Adrian Peterson, even we've been told, at least we've heard, that they could only get or retrieve a fourth-round draft choice.
Big names.
Ludicrous.
Big names. Sal Palantonio said it. Mike Florio said it from Pro Football Talk. What's his nut said it as well. Peter King said it. John Clayton from SportsCenter also said it. Four big names when it comes to media out on the East Coast for the NFL have said fourth round is best case scenario.
Let me ask you, Jim. Fourth round draft choice. If Adrian Peterson was agreeing already, and he said that he would be willing to restructure his contract, obviously making it more doable for another team to assume his contract if they restructured it before he went, there's going to be better trade value for a guy like Adrian Peterson than a fourth round draft choice.
Well, either that or I'd say you're sitting at home.
Amen, brother.
I'm not going to look like a fool and give you away for a fourth-round pick. Sit at home, and then if you don't want to play for us, we don't have to pay you because you're holding out. So, perfect. You can sit there and wait.
That's exactly what Mike and I have been saying as well. $12.75 million to play for the Minnesota Vikings and you're uneasy, I think you'll be just fine because I'm not going to give you up for a fourth-round draft choice and I'm not going to cut you. You're too important to the Minnesota Vikings. You're more important than a fourth-round draft pick. If you think we're going to trade you for that, you're silly.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I think what the Vikings are telling him is sit there and let's see where Murray goes. We have to see what DeMarco Murray does because he's the big chip. Because if he ends up going to back to Dallas, well, then, you know, the Vikings aren't going to get as much for him. But if he goes somewhere else, then Dallas will come calling. Jerry Jones knows that Adrian wants to play there. And so the Vikings are going to say, come on, we got your guy. You got to cough up better than a fourth, or we're just going to make him sit here, and everybody's going to be upset. I think that's why he's being so quiet, because he hasn't been quiet about anything else when he's not happy.
I was going to say, if someone finally told him to shut up,
right,
that would help. That would help, because, like you said, it allows the team to work in secrecy under the radar into what they want to try to get done and then launch it and put it in play without having so much out there and in the open and teams calling their bluff and whatnot. So, but let me ask you this. DeMarco Murray supposedly has reached out to Chip Kelly, of all people, and has rekindled apparently the interest that Chip Kelly had shown in him earlier that had been apparently dying off. But then, of course, the Gore deal goes completely up in the air, and he ends up in Indianapolis. Some other things that they're trying to do would make no sense compared to a DeMarco Murray. Is there any truth in that? And, of course, if that domino fell, if that chip fell, that would leave Dallas open looking for a running back.
Right. Well, the big thing Murray's doing is trying to get the cash up.
Yeah.
His agent is probably saying, all right, these deals kind of suck. We need to get your value up, son. I need you to make a phone call. And we're going to let everybody know that you two are talking. So then either Dallas puts more on the table, or problems with my television here. Sorry. Let me turn that off. Sorry. What I was going to say is it's them trying to create a market for himself because he wants a big payday, and now all of a sudden they may not be finding the money that they thought was out there. So now you have to try and drum up interest and make teams think others are interested.
But the longer it goes on, Jim Rich from Fox 9, the longer Adrian Peterson is not traded or there isn't any movement on that front, the more likely it is that he's going to show up in Mankato for training camp and be part of the Vikings next year.
I don't know. You'd think that we would have settled this by now. You'd think if, you know, this is, I think, the last hurdle. Or I suppose we're going to wait through the draft. There's somebody that says, you know, Jacksonville says, hey, we'll give you our third for him, you know, and Vikings will say, okay, he's yours. You know, it's, but I think why Adrian's being so quiet right now is because the Vikings are telling him, look, we're trying to take care of you, but you have to play ball with us. You can't be out there spouting off saying you don't want to be here anymore. You have to just sit there and let us try to work this out for you. And I think, he respects Spielman and Zimmer enough that he'll, you know, and his agents probably tell him, yeah, this is the only thing we could do. We have to sit tight, let the Vikings try to figure out something for you.
Yeah, they definitely came out swinging and making the wrong move for Adrian. They were just stomping out all the leverage that they had and the club's leverage to be able to find a decent trade value for him. And I have no idea where that strategy came from in Adrian Peterson's his entourage and his agent. But anyway, and by the way, let's get to the important stuff. What did Cohen Loeffler make in that one-year deal?
I don't know. Did you read it? I haven't.
No,
seen
it wasn't posted anywhere.
Don't you think it's going to be veteran minimum?
Yeah, it will be. So I don't know what the veteran minimum for a. I think it's a 10-year and up player, vested veteran. Obviously, would be more. It wouldn't be just. There are like brackets for veteran minimum wage. Let's put it that way. And after 10 years, I think it breaks off pretty big. But
well, that means the long snapping challenge is still in play.
It really
now
is.
Now that he's back.
It really is. So we can still stage
you
something.
Versus him.
Yeah, and we all know how long it took me to get back in true form on your show.
Yeah, one snap.
Yeah.
One snap and he almost broke Randy Meyer's finger.
That was funny.
Awesome.
That was funny.
I want to say the veteran minimum right now that I'm reading at sporttrack.com, $955,000 base salary for a veteran over 10 years.
And he's played, what, 12? This will be 12, so I wonder if it breaks off again. But that's good money. Jim, thank you for your time, though. I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, I am. And you know what? I think you guys should play for checks. And if you lose, you know, he'll have to take out a loan to match your salary from the ticket, you know.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
We can work that out, you know.
I almost don't want to win that because I'd have to take on his measly, you know, his pittance.
Now, how does he feed his kids?
Check to check, I'm sure.
It's got to be tough times at the Loeffler house. He's just happy to employ, I'm sure.
I'm sure. And I'm sure his family's out there. And probably each kid's got a paper route. And his wife probably, you know, has a cleaning service or something like that.
Surprised he doesn't have his own radio show to make up for the, you know, to make ends meet here.
Well, he doesn't have that ability. So he probably does have a second and third job somewhere in Texas. So I'm sure that he's trying to make ends meet. Jim, thank you very much for your time. And, we'll call upon you later. Don't forget to take some anti-inflammatories tonight. There he goes. Jim Rich, not feeling at all himself. But,
what?
But doing much better.
Fine.
He sounded funny.
Did he?
To me, his voice is still all messed up. He sounds like garbage to me.
I disagree.
I think there's something really wrong with him.
He said today earlier when I was talking to him on the phone that he was feeling absolutely fine, and then he went...
Yeah, that's it. He's got that phlegmy voice. Start calling
I think
him
feeling
plenty.
Better. It's just all up in here in the schnoz and the chestal area.
Congestion.
Yeah.
I want to talk. I got a break coming up here where I want to talk about something now.
You
What's
talk
going
about
on?
Enough stuff.
Huh?
You talk about enough stuff.
Listen here. So anyway, the retirement is peculiar to me. What's going on with some of these younger players? I mean, just when you think it's time to hit it rich, as all of us would have thought, you know, playing for this kind of money. Having an opportunity to make the kind of money that these guys make now. There are two or three players out there right now. One of them was an unrestricted free agent. I want to tell you about him. And let's weigh into that. Because it's damn near the lottery he's walking away from right here on Radioactive Sports.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
If you put on 23, you put Jordan on your back. And that's what Zach LaVine did. He really lived up to the moment.
In one of the biggest stages in basketball.
Passionate sports talk on your sports station. 105 The Ticket.
Could have been a contender.
Jump around.
Jump around.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Pack it in. Let me begin. I can't win. Battle me.
Come on.
get down a little bit here. Come on, let's get up and jump a little bit. Jump around and all that crap. You know what, Rebecca? I gotta tell you. Yes, I mean, Rebecca. I can't believe the kind of money these guys are walking away from. It's amazing. You know, the number of people that are retiring well under the age of 30. It's amazing. I mean, what the market is set at for these guys to make the kind of money they're making now in this day and age, I would just think you would want to play this for as long as you possibly could, unless, of course, you're faced with injury. And it's over and over and over again, and you just have to think down the road and what you're going to be feeling like in your mid-50s. I mean, Patrick Willis, I think, maybe falls into that category. He has thrown a lot of leather. He has thrown a lot of big, big, big hits. It adds up. So I understand Patrick Willis's case, but Jason Worlds of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Another linebacker, though.
Another outside linebacker. Well, Patrick is inside.
Yeah, but another linebacker.
But he's an outside linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Led the team in sacks with 7.5 sacks. I mean, the Steelers wanted to retain him, but they gave him also the benefit of going out and becoming a free agent, too. They wanted to bring him back if he couldn't find anything shopping around.
He's a good player.
He's a really good football player. And, I mean, the market for a guy like him, a starting outside linebacker at his age, 27, he was looking at making about $8 million a year and about $15 to $20 million guaranteed. And he said, you know what, I've been thinking about this for a while, and I'm going to retire. It was a bombshell. It was a bombshell on the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are looking for an outside linebacker where they were pretty well suited.
I mean, if
he comes back, that is.
Yeah, I would say Patrick Willis probably had to be. It was a shocker for me anyway. I know he had some injury problems the last year or so. The shocking thing for me is I guess I understand the linebacking situations because of. You look at Junior Seau and some of these other players that have shot themselves in the heart to have their brains intact so they can be studied for CTE. And the one that flabbergasts me is 26-year-old Jake Locker, who I know has also had injury problems himself. 4 years, but he just said, you know what, the fire in my belly for the NFL isn't there. Okay, Jake Locker, it's not like you got paid a ton. I mean, he got millions of dollars, don't get me wrong. But,
a ton, yeah.
But it's not... Not Sam Bradford money or one of those rookie, because he's still on his rookie contract. What do you mean the fire's not in your belly? Is the fire going to be in your belly when you have to go to a cubicle like the rest of us do, when you have to get paid 35 to 55, 60? I mean, you're not going to be paid multi-million dollars a year to play a child's game. And at 26 to say the fire's not in my belly, I'm going to walk away from the NFL. Are you nuts?
It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, if you're able, and that's a big word in the NFL. Are you able? Are you not beat up and destroyed? I mean, Robert Smith was a teammate of mine and a good football player. We all know him. Great, really, really good running back. But he had surgery. I mean, I'm going to say major surgery, like almost every single offseason. And he was a free agent and looking at, even back then, Robert was looking at making about $5 million on his signing bonus. Back then, signing bonus, it wasn't guaranteed, but that was the only guaranteed money you were going to make was your signing bonus. And then his contract would have been probably $2-3 million a year. He walked away from it. And we all picked up the phone and called him and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm sick of it. I am sick of it.
Money's not the most important thing in life. I know
that's
that.
It's a good lesson. That's what I wanted to bring this up.
From a past job where I was making gobs of money, but just miserable with the people that I was working with, it's not worth it. And so if these people are in the similar situation, and especially looking at, like I mentioned, Junior Seau, and there was the other guy too, Jim McMahon's walking around suffering from dementia, former teammate of yours.
And roommate of mine.
Yeah, Dave Duerson committed suicide.
And then played for the Bears, also with the Bears.
Specifically in a way, like I talked about, so they could, their brains can stay intact for study and later be diagnosed with CTE, which is something that maybe you would be going through at some point.
Possibly. I still need to go do some extensive work. You know, I've had some tests run recently, and we're working on it.
But you would have never given up, and we've talked about this a billion times before, you would have never given up in your NFL career. In fact, you wish you could have played longer, even knowing what has happened to you now where you can't write the E sometimes. Yeah, it was you're signing your name.
Yeah, it comes and goes. It does.
Sometimes when you close your eyes when you're taking a shower, you want to fall over. And I mean, there are
numbness in my hands. So I saw the neurologist the other day. And numbness in both hands, both feet at the same time.
But you wouldn't have given up. You would have played longer if you could.
Yeah, I would do it all over again right now.
So what advice, I mean, the opposite, where these players are retiring in their mid-20s, when they're just beginning to explode in their career in the NFL, most of these players anyway, Worlds and Patrick Willis.
It's incredible. It really, I mean, away. There must be something really nice out there that says, you know what, you can make
this much money. If he has a good agent, let's say, and you have a great opportunity out there, a business opportunity where you can trust the guy, he's made you some money before, he's taken some of your money and put it over here, and it's been a great investment, and so let's go do it again, and it looks really good. You think.
But you're not going to make $8 million a year.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it depends on what you invest. These guys have a lot of money to invest, so their return is huge, too. I don't know what this guy is looking at. You have to wonder, how safe is it to jump and to go over to that side and rely on that as you're living and to replace these years of income that you could be making for the next, let's say, 4 or 5 years. He's 27, so if he played another 4 or 5 years or at least one more contract, you're looking at about $25, $30 million. Not taxed, okay. Now he's talking about $20 million net.
Well, what happens
okay?
if you can't walk when you're 45, 50,
that.
55 years old?
That's what you have to think about.
You can't. I mean, like Orlando Thomas, a former teammate of yours, who had, mm-hmm. was it Lou Gehrig's disease?
Yeah, and I don't know if that's, you know, that overlaps with some of the concussion-related issues that we're finding now, is that is not Lou Gehrig's. It's more of the concussion-related stuff. Lou Gehrig's is different, not okay. much. It's very much the same, but
you can
different.
Have all the money in the world, but if you're trapped inside, and you're a prisoner inside your own body, what's the use?
What's the use? Mike Webster, another teammate of mine with the Chiefs, the great center for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Same thing. But it just goes to show you. I mean, there are some guys, some young men in this league that have morals, have values, are thinking about what the quality of life is that they want to be living down the road. Have they got enough money salted away that they can go out and do that? I mean, if they've got money socked away and it's earning interest and they're being smart about their money, they've had enough of the beatdown. They're sick of it, and they're walking away from a ton of money.
Maurice Jones-Drew said, I've been playing football for 24 years. I'm 29 years old right now. It's just not there anymore. I just don't have the fire in my belly to do it.
Yeah, I've seen it happen, too. Younger guys getting out. Robert Smith was fairly young.
Barry Sanders.
Same deal. 10 years as a running back. That's a long
time.
Still
much earlier than he probably should have retired.
He
was still amazing.
I think his last year he was over 2,000 yards.
Jeez.
Look, staring right down the barrel of Walter Payton's all-time rushing record. He said that's fine. He can have the record. We're going to take a little break here. We'll come back and talk a little Golden Gopher trivia. What the hell? Am I a lifeline for somebody again?
Yes, you are.
This is awesome.
You know
I don't have
about
to...
the Golden Gophers?
No.
Well, good luck with that, then.
Got a pair of tickets.
Lots of tickets.
The fabulous Armadillos.
Everybody's
it's
a winner.
An Eagles tribute band at the Medina. This Saturday, March 14th, or a pair of tickets to the WCHA Final Five Championship game Saturday, March 21st at the Excel. Ooh, some big, big prizes
three
here.
Three
contestants right now.
That's what I just
said.
651-989-9105.
Let me do the last four number.
651-989-9105.
That's cool. I like that.
You
want
to switch off? I'll say six. You say five. I said, no, that's six.
Son of a. Golden Gopher trivia. Are you sure? Maybe I should just sit this one out.
No.
I'll be a lifeline. I can lifeline the hell out of this.
Three contestants. We need you now.
Yeah, call.
Everybody wins a prize.
And if someone out there isn't going to call, I'm coming out there looking for you with a folding chair right here at Radioactive Sports.
The best of high school basketball can be heard on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
A long three at the buzzer is good!
Wally Langfellow brings you play-by-play from the biggest game.
We have the Class 4A championships covered. The semifinals are Thursday night at 6 p.m., and the finals are Saturday at 8 p.m., live from the Target Center.
High school basketball, presented by Minnesota Score Magazine.
Shot it good! And the time's falling in!
On Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
You're like the Aaron Hicks of radio.
You do?
You are. You are
you
the Aaron Hicks of radio.
Son of a bitch, don't call me the Aaron Hicks of radio. Number one, you hate your job. Number two is you don't do anything to get better at it.
I love
Number
it
three is you forget what segment it is.
I don't.
You forget what time, you know, we come on even. I have to go around and get you at 4 o'clock because you don't know what the score is.
The score?
You know what I mean. You know what I'm referring to. You don't know what the damn deal is because Aaron Hicks got his ass in trouble yesterday with Paul Molitor for not knowing what the damn situation was in the game, and that's you.
He got yanked.
Yeah, he did.
No, that's you.
You're yanked. Quit yanking yourself.
Golden Gopher basketball team kicks off the Big Ten tournament tonight. Listen to all the Big Ten tournament games right here on Sports Radio 105. The Ticket starting tomorrow morning at 10:45. Illinois versus Michigan. And then after the first game, Iowa versus the winner of Nebraska-Penn State. We'll do it all over again on Friday. So right here, Big Ten Tournament, right here on 105 The Ticket. But in honor of that, we're going to play Gopher Trivia. Gopher Trivia. Three contestants.
It's not going to go well. I mean, it will for the fans sure. that called in. The three contestants that we asked for earlier, they will do fine. I am a lifeline if you're really, really desperate.
If you trust the Aaron Hicks of radio.
I mean, I'll give it a shot. I'm not the Aaron Hicks of radio.
Everybody wins. We have three prizes. We have two pairs of tickets to the fabulous Armadillos.
You're the Aaron Hicks of radio, you son of a bitch.
In Medina this Saturday. Or a pair of tickets to the big prize, probably, to the WCHA Final Five Championship game Saturday, March 21st at the XL Energy Center. Contestant number one is Randy. Randy from St. Louis Park. Three multiple choice questions. You can use the superstar Mike Morris as your lifeline on one of them. Got it?
Okay.
Right. Answer with a little respect, please.
Okie dokie.
That's really good. That's good. That's good.
Here we go, Randy. Question number one. What team did the Minnesota Golden Gophers, this is a football question, by the way.
Respect your elders, Randy.
Did the Gophers play annually in a rivalry game for the trophy called Floyd of Rosedale? Is it A, the Wisconsin Badgers, B, the Iowa Hawkeyes, C, Michigan Wolverines, D, Indiana Hoosiers?
Iowa Hawkeyes.
Iowa Hawkeyes is correct.
Hell, I knew that one. What do you think? You're something special, Randy? I knew that one, and I'm dumb.
Yeah, my mom says I'm special.
I think you are, too, man. I think you are, too. Trust me.
Randy, question two.
You ever had your ass cool to the folding chair, Randy? You special one, you?
Not yet.
Okay, stop on by the office. I got you covered.
Give it time. Randy, question two. What is the name of the Minnesota Golden Gopher fight song? Is it A, Minnesota Rouser, B, Gopher Rouser, C, Minnesota Mania, or D, Call of the Wild?
I'm going to have to use Morris as a lifeline.
Oh, God.
Son of a bitch. Let's see. All right, give them to me again. Let's walk through them.
What is the name of the Minnesota Golden Gopher fight song? A, Minnesota Rouser. I hate that, okay. Son of a.
Yeah, I know.
I can't say that on the radio.
What is it again? Go ahead and try it again.
None of your damn business.
Listen, it is.
Question
I'm a lifeline
two.
Here.
What is the name of the Minnesota Golden Gopher fight song? A, Minnesota Rouser. B, Gopher Rouser. C, Minnesota Mania. D, Call of the Wild.
I'll go with A.
You would be correct.
Hey, Randy, what the hell do you think of that?
Hey, that's awesome.
Well, you and I are two for two, my boy.
All righty, here we go. Question three, Randy.
What do you bench, Randy?
What I bench?
Yeah, what do you bench press?
12-ounce curls.
Got a buddy.
Perfect.
Randy, question three. Which one of the following Gopher basketball players' number is not retired and hanging in the barn rafters? Which of these Gopher basketball players' numbers not retired and is not hanging in the barn rafters? Is it A, Lou Hudson, B, Jim Brewer, C, Randy Brewer, D, Flip Saunders?
Boy. I'm going to have to use Morris again.
You can only use him once.
You only do it one time, but you can only do it one time, you special one.
Well, I know Randy Brewer is retired.
Okay. What about Hudson? I think Hudson is, too. I'm going to help you out a little bit. I think Hudson is as well. So it comes down to Flip and who was the fourth choice?
Jim Brewer.
I'm going to go with Jim Brewer.
And that would be incorrect. The correct answer would have been Flip Saunders. Flip Saunders' number is not retired.
Wow.
Randy Brewer was retired this year. Jim Brewer, no relation, retired in 1973. Lou Hudson, 1966. Hmm. 2 out of 3, Randy. Randy from St. Louis Park. Not bad, my man. Hold on a second.
Randy.
Yeah, thank you.
That guy is...
kind of a pistol. My dad would say.
That guy needs medication.
Yeah, he does. Like me.
Line two.
I'm on meth right now.
Mark from Minneapolis.
Right.
Hi, buddy.
Yeah, right. Listen, settle down.
You're jumping the gun a little bit.
Okay.
All right, Mark. Hold
settle
on a
down. Settle down.
Okay.
Are you ready to play or not?
I'm ready.
Okay. Three multiple choice questions. You have the superstar Mike Morris as your lifeline for one of them if you're having a problem, okay?
Okay.
It sounds like you are, too, right now.
All right, Mark, here we go. Question number one. Each season, the Golden Gopher football team plays for the rights for the Little Brown Jug. What team do they play? Is it A, Michigan Wolverines, B, Wisconsin Badgers, C?
Michigan Wolverines is correct.
You're fabulous. You're like the Fabulous Five that played there at Michigan.
Question two, Mark. Who was Williams Arena named after? Is it A, Robin Williams, B, Sir Williams Pillsbury, C, Dr. Henry Williams, or D?
Pillsbury.
What?
Pillsbury.
Sir William Pillsbury is incorrect.
I told you, Andy Williams. Jicky Jack.
See Dr. Henry Williams, head coach of the Gophers football team from 1900 to 1921.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
You have a chance to tie, though, still.
Yeah. Hold on here, Mark. Everybody's a winner. Minnesota's... Clem Haskins. I swear to God, I'm going to punch somebody if that keeps happening. Question three. Clem Haskins' career with the Gophers ended in an academic scandal of 1997, wiping all the records for that year, including a trip to the Final Four. Clem was originally hired in 1986 to clean up what other Gopher basketball scandal? Mark, is it A, the Madison sexual assault allegations? B, the Iowa City body snatcher holdup? C, the East Lansing tax appropriations fraud? Or D, State College child sexual abuse?
I'll say child sexual abuse.
That is incorrect. Unfortunately, it was A, the Madison sexual assault allegations. Jeez. All charges were dropped. Hold on, Mark. Everybody's a winner.
Holy,
you got one correct.
Crap.
And he was hired to clean up an allegation, and he left in disgrace.
Wow. Mark, son of a... Who was the gal that was in charge of taking all the tests for...
I don't remember.
Gangloff or something.
The Gangloff?
I don't know.
She kept writing papers about the menstrual cycle. That's how they... Yeah.
I think so. I think you're right. I think you're right.
Chad from line three.
You
are,
Chad, you sound like you've been drinking. Is that true?
No, I don't drink. I don't drink.
Not even water?
I'm down a little bit. So we don't drink no more.
Do you ever have a Bombay Sapphire followed up by a Budweiser, like a long neck?
Ooh.
And then try and play this game? Because that's what it sounds like you've been on. I mean, it sounds to me like you're about a shot into this.
We've played Edward 40 hands before. I don't know. If you can call it that.
Those are the greatest. I played that all the time in college where you duct tape 40s to your hands.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Funny stuff.
Yeah, you're the best, Chad. I love you.
All right, way to go, Chad.
Question number one, three multiple choice questions. You can use the superstar. Our last contestant, Mark, did not use the superstar for one lifeline on one of these questions.
He's a flat out idiot.
Chad, question number one, what team do the Minnesota Golden Gophers play? Football team play in a rivalry game for the trophy called the Slab of Bacon, otherwise known as the Paul Bunyan Axe. Is it A, the Iowa Hawkeyes, B, the Wisconsin Badgers, C, Penn State Nittany Lions, or D, the Iowa Hawkeyes?
The Badgers.
Ba-boom. You're well on your way here.
You should have another shot. I mean, go ahead and drink to that. I mean, I think it's helping you a lot. You wouldn't have gotten that thing sober.
Question two, Chad, from Elk River. Out of these four Gopher basketball players, which one did not win the Big Ten MVP award? Is it A, Kevin McHale, B, Jim Brewer, C, Michael Thompson, D, Bobby Jackson?
Let's go with Bobby Jackson.
Bobby Jackson won in 1997. Michael Thompson, 78. He's the dad of Clay Thompson for the Golden State Warriors.
Almost traded for him.
Yeah, Jim Brewer won in 1972. It was the correct answer. Kevin McHale never won the MVP for the Big Ten.
Wow.
Well, I better do a shot. Got one wrong.
Go ahead, pour yourself around. Don't forget the long neck Budweiser. Follow it up real quick with a Bud.
Question three to tie it up here. Chad, the Gopher basketball team. Remember, you have the superstar as a lifeline.
By the way, this Bud's for you.
The Gopher basketball team has to win all five games of the Big Ten tournament to get an automatic bid into this year's NCAA tournament. When is the last time that the Gophers made it past the first round of that NCAA tournament? Was it A, 1997, B, 2003, C, 2013, D, 2010?
What's the year that Bobby Jackson... What did you say, 94 or
97? I think he said 97. I kind of go along with that one, too.
I'm going to go with 97. What do you think, Morris?
It's between that or... Gosh darn it. Clem. I don't know. You know, I don't know. 97 sounds right, but I think it's 2010. I think it's 2010. I think it is. They did it more recently.
All right, let's go with 2010.
2010 is incorrect. Very close, though. It was 2013. They were the number 11 seed. They beat UCLA 83-63, but then ended up losing to Florida 64-78.
Okay.
All right.
My bad, dude. I tried. That was kind of tricky stuff. I knew it was a 2000.
It was a bad choice. You're right. Terrible choice.
Play with slap. Now, why don't you do some Gopher research before you come on and play like that?
Chad and Mark, they're going to the fabulous Thunderbirds. An Eagles tribute band at the Medina Entertainment Center this Saturday. And the big grand prize winner, Randy from St. Louis Park, He has tickets to the WCHA Final Five Championship game, which is next Saturday, the 21st, at the XL Energy Center. Congratulations, guys. Thanks for playing.
What more do you want? Come on, don't do it. Don't throw it at me. Gosh darn it, anyway. I'm going to get out here. Next break, I'm going to walk down. I'm going to talk to the boss about this paper wad throwing stuff.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. You think it's funny. You think you're funny like a clown.
I'm not afraid.
The boss has
gone home for the day, by the way.
What?
He's already gone home.
He's gone home?
We said goodbye to him.
Well, that was our boss?
Yeah.
I like Brian. Chris Shad's on with us next. He's with Cold Omaha. He's with with the 105 tickets they go by. Of course, Cold Omaha. You should know that by now.
God, you're such an errand head.
Shut up. Chris Shad.